All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can find your place in Matthew chapter number 28. Gospel of Matthew chapter number 28. And we will be there momentarily. Of course, last Sunday morning, we looked at and we studied the offerings to the church, and we learned several things about that last Sunday morning. We learned that, the number one, that the tithe belongs to God, it belongs to the Lord. We learned that offerings are above the tithe, so whatever your 10% is, that is above and beyond your tithe. And then thirdly, we learned that giving supports the work of the church. That's how the work of this church can go on, that by the faithful giving of its membership and those who attend here. And then the last thing we saw last week was that giving is an act of faith. It's an act of worship. That's one of the ways that we come together, and that's one of the ways that we come and worship the Lord. And we saw that the truth that when God has your heart, He's not going to have to fight for not only your treasure, not only your wallet, but your time and your testimony and your talents, because you're going to want to give that all to Him, because you realize and you remember that it belongs to Him anyway. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord. And so today brings us to our fifth and final lesson in this series on the church defined. And we're looking today at the orders to the church. The orders to the church. Now, up to this point, we've studied the Lord's church. We've defined it, what it is. We've looked at the origins of the church, the offices of the church. Last week, the offerings to the church. And now this morning, we're going to close with the marching orders to the church. Because here's the truth of the matter this morning, and that is very simply, a church can have the right doctrine, which I believe we do. We have the right doctrine. A church can have the right officers. I believe we do. We have pastor and deacon. We can have the right order. We do things decently in order, as the Bible says. We have the right giving, folks faithfully giving and supporting the church to the best of their ability. But here's the crux of everything we've seen so far. If as a church we forget the Great Commission, if we forget why we're here, then we have forgotten why we're still here. And the church is not here just to hold services. There's a multitude of things we can be doing this morning. I'm sure there are things you could be doing this morning. There are places you could be this morning. I know some folks, Sundays are the only days that they get off and that they get a break. And so there's any number of things you can be doing. And so the church is not just here to hold services. The church is not here just to maintain a building. The church is not here just to preserve tradition. The church is here to obey the orders of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has given us some marching orders as a church that we need to be sure that we are accomplishing on a day-by-day basis. And so you're there, Matthew chapter 28, Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. And notice there, if you would, we'll actually begin at verse number 18. The two verses we're looking at are verses 19 and 20, but we'll begin at verse number 18. The Bible says there, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." And so we see the Great Commission. What we have here, it is not a suggestion from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the standing order of the church. And so we want to see several things this morning. Number one, we want to see the church is ordered to teach salvation to all. the church is ordered to teach salvation to all. Notice again verse number 19. The Bible says there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So the very first order that's given to the church before Christ ascended was to reach the lost with the gospel. Those who don't know Jesus, those who don't maybe go to church. Our job, our responsibility, our mission is to reach them with the gospel. The obligation to communicate the gospel falls upon every Christian. So everybody here, it's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the deacon's job. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's job. It's everybody's job to be communicating the gospel, to get the gospel out. And so, you know, if on a given Sunday, we have about 30 people here, give or take. Some weeks it's less, like last week because of the holiday weekend. But most weeks we have 30 up towards 40, 50 when everybody's here. But if everybody, before they left on a Sunday morning and on a Wednesday night, before they left, they would take a gospel tract from the table there and just one, take that gospel tract, take it and hand it to one person this week. If everybody did that, if all 30 people did that, that's 30 people out in our community that gets a tract. That's 30 people that get a gospel presentation. That's 30 people that get a invitation to church. And, we don't know what the Lord would do with that. We don't know who will show up because of an invitation to church. And so it's given to everybody. The obligation is given to every Christian. And the order to carry out the Great Commission lies upon every New Testament church. So every church has the responsibility to share the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Here's what an ambassador does. An ambassador represents another country. That's what they do. They do not speak their own message, but they carry the message of the one who sent them. And that is what we are. That is who we are. We are ambassadors for heaven. We are ambassadors for Christ. And that means then we are not to preach ourselves. We are not here to promote our opinions. We are not here to advertise our preferences. We're here to tell sinners that Jesus saves. That's why we're here. At the end of the day, for everything that we do, all the programs, all the get-togethers, all the fellowships, all the Bible studies, all of it, the goal is to tell sinners that Jesus saves. Mark 16 and 15, the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so that means this morning that the gospel is not just for a select few. It's not just for one class of people. It's not for one nation. It is not for one kind of sinner. The gospel is for every creature. Everybody you encounter on a day-by-day basis, if they don't have Jesus, they are a candidate for salvation. They are a candidate for the gospel. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47, the Bible says, "Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." And so the message is clear. It's crystal clear. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose again. And sinners must repent and believe the gospel. And so a church that stops preaching salvation to sinners has stopped obeying the Savior who died for sinners. And so every member of the Lord's church, that's you, that's me, every member of the Lord's church has the responsibility to share the plan of salvation with every soul possible. Now listen, not everybody is called to pastor. Not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody is called to be missionaries overseas. Not everybody is called to be a deacon or a Sunday school teacher things that involve getting up in front of a group of people and teaching the Bible. Not everybody is called to do that. And we're not saying everybody is, but every Christian is called to be a witness. You are called to be a witness, and I am called to be a witness. Acts 1:8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power, that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And so we are to be witnesses, sharing the gospel with everybody that hears it. But the Lord did not only order the church to teach salvation, because that's just the beginning. After sinners are saved, the church has another order. And that's what we see secondly this morning. The church is ordered to baptize converts. The church is ordered to baptize converts. So you're there, Matthew 28. Notice verse number 19 again. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." So that's salvation. And now here's what comes after salvation. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And so here's what happens. When a person responds to the gospel in an affirmative way, when they trust Christ as their Savior, they get saved. They should then be encouraged to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now that does not mean baptism saves. Baptism does not save. Baptism does not wash away sin. Baptism does not make a person born again. It does not make them a Christian. All baptism is an outward testimony of an inward salvation. Acts 2:41, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So you notice the order of this. They received the word, they were saved, then they were baptized, then they were added to the church. That is the New Testament pattern. Salvation comes first, baptism follows salvation, and then church membership follows believer's baptism. Someone cannot be baptized if they're not saved. Someone cannot become a member of a church if they are not baptized, if they are not saved, if they are not born again. And so baptism is not the door to salvation, but it is the first step of obedience after salvation. Take your Bibles and go. Keep your finger in Matthew 28. We'll be back. But go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And then notice there, verse number 36. Or let's begin. Let's begin at verse number 27. Verse 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And so we see here again, belief came before baptism. That's why as Baptists, we believe in believer's baptism. We don't believe in infant baptism. We don't believe in baptism for salvation. We don't believe in sprinkling. We don't believe in pouring. We don't believe in church tradition. We believe believer's baptism by immersion under the authority of a scriptural New Testament church. It has to be the right mode and the right method. If you don't have those things, then it is not true scriptural baptism. Romans 6:4, the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. So that's what baptism pictures. Baptism pictures the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when someone's standing in the baptistry and they're standing in the water, that pictures death. When we take that person and we place them under the water, that pictures their burial. And then if we don't keep them under too long and we bring them up out of the water, that represents resurrection, and that pictures resurrection. And so baptism is a sermon in water declaring, I belong to the crucified, buried, risen, and soon coming again, Jesus Christ. That's what baptism signifies. That is what it is a picture of. But the order does not stop with salvation. It does not stop with baptism. The Lord's church is also ordered to then train disciples. And that's what we see thirdly this morning. The church is ordered to train disciples. You're there, Matthew 28. Notice verse number 20, first part of it. The Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so the new convert should then be taught all things that pertain to the faith. They should be taught how to be a soul winner and be a witness. They should be taught the basics of the Christian faith and Christian practice. And the goal is not merely decisions. The goal is not merely to say, well, we had this many saved. That's not the goal. The goal is disciples. And a church should not be content just to see someone make a profession. Because there's a lot of people, they make a profession, but they don't have possession. And the Bible even talks about that if all we ever do is get somebody to pray a prayer with no follow-up, the Bible says you made them twice the child of hell. Because then when someone does go to follow up with them, they say, oh, I've already done that. I'm good. I'm taken care of. So, yes, we lead them in a prayer and we lead them in the sinner's prayer, but then we follow up with them. We teach them. We baptize them. We help them become a disciple. And that convert, that one that we see saved, they need to be grounded and taught and strengthened and trained. Acts 2:42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so they were saved, they were baptized, they were added to the church. And then after they were saved and baptized and added to the church, the Bible says they continued. They continued. They continued in doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They continued in worship. They continued in prayer. That is what discipleship is. And listen, we've all been there where we've gotten saved, we've gotten baptized, and when we're first saved, we're on fire for God. We want to do things for God, and we're in church every time the doors are open, and we want to do things for God. But then as the years go on and life goes on, you know, all of a sudden we're not as excited as we used to be. And instead of continuing, we're just seemingly coasting, and we're just seemingly doing the bare minimum. But the Bible says that we are to continue. We are to keep going on. And so the Great Commission is not complete when a sinner prays. It's easy to get somebody to pray. You go up, you talk to somebody, you say, hey, do you want to go to heaven or hell? I have yet to have anybody tell me they want to go to hell, except maybe once in a blue moon and they were just being, you know, smart. You know, I remember I was witnessing to somebody. We used to do We used to do street evangelism, and we'd stand at Broad and Oregon and then Broad and Snyder at the subway stations. And as people would come and go, we would hand them the Gospel of John and Romans or a gospel track. And one day it was raining, so we went underground and we went into the subway. And I remember this young man, I tried to hand him a gospel track and he said, "Oh, no, I'm good." And he stopped and he was going to have a conversation, or he wanted to have a conversation. And he was like, he was kind of atheist, didn't believe in anything. And I said, well, you know, then if you don't believe in anything, you don't really have anything to lose if you believe in Christ. And, you know, then you'll go to heaven. And you know, but if you are wrong, then you're going to die in your sins and go to hell. And he, I remember saying, "Well, then I'll be there with all my friends," or something along that line. And unfortunately, some people think that. They think, "Well, I'll just go to hell and it'll be a party with my friends." And that could be the furthest thing from the truth. And so, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, whom shall be able to teach others also." And so this is what we have here. This is the principle of multiplication. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, taught Timothy. And then Timothy was to teach faithful men. And then those faithful men were to teach others also. And that is how the truth is passed down. And so I remember my pastor, he taught me. And then I was called into the ministry, and so I took what he taught me, and now I'm teaching others. Now hopefully others will take what I teach and teach others also. That's how the truth is passed down. That's how we keep Christianity and the truth going. Colossians 1:28, the Bible says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." And so discipleship involves two things. Number one, it involves warning. And then number two, it involves teaching. A new believer needs to learn. They need to learn how to read the Bible. They need to learn how to pray. They need to learn how to attend church faithfully. They need to learn how to witness. They need to learn how to live separated from the world. They need to learn how to understand doctrine and how to serve Christ and how to grow in grace. They need to learn these things. A church that wins converts but does not train disciples, well, it's kind of like the church nursery. It's a nursery that, well, we celebrate the birth, but then we never feed the babies. I mean, if you ever watched a little baby, and you know when they're hungry, they scream and they cry, and if you don't feed them, guess what? They're not going to get quieter. They're going to keep crying out until you feed them. And so the orders are simple: teach salvation to all, baptize converts, and train disciples. And so now let's bring it all home and wrap it up. And that's what we see fourthly and finally this morning. The church must keep the orders until Jesus comes. The church must keep the orders until Jesus comes. You're there, Matthew 28. Notice the last part of verse number 20. The Bible says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So here's the truth this morning. The Great Commission has not expired. The orders still stand. The gospel still saves. Baptism still matters. Doctrine still matters. Discipleship still matters. The church, that's us, we still have a job to do. Jesus promised his presence to the church as it carries out his commission. And that's perhaps the most comforting thing of all this morning, is that when we're doing his work, we're not alone. Even sometimes when we feel like we're alone, if we're doing his work, he has promised to be there with us. And we are never alone. And so he did not say, well, just go ahead and I hope you make it. He doesn't say that. You know, I've dealt with people like that. They give you directions and they say, well, hope you get there okay. And I still don't know how I'm getting there. He said, go and I am with you. Go and I am with you. John 20:21, the Bible says, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We are a sent people this morning. The church gathers. Yes, we gather to worship, but it scatters to witness. The church comes in to be fed, but it goes out to reach others. The church assembles for instruction, but it leaves with orders. The church that gathers without going has misunderstood why it was gathered in the first place. The orders to the church are found in the Great Commission. The church is ordered to teach salvation to all, baptize converts, and train disciples. And these orders belong to every New Testament church. And every member has a part in the work. We're not here merely just to maintain what others built. We're here to obey what Christ commanded. The Lord's church must preach the gospel, must baptize believers, must teach doctrine, must train disciples, and must continue until Jesus comes. A scriptural church is not measured only by what it believes on paper, but by whether it obeys the orders of Christ in practice. And so this week we've been given orders. When you leave here today, let me encourage you, take one gospel tract. Give it to one person this week. And then when you're back on Wednesday night, take another one. And then hand it to somebody else. And in 1 week, you can give out at least two gospel tracts. Now, those people might not show up. We don't know. But guess what? We know they won't show up if we don't give them the invitation to begin with. And so take a gospel tract and invite at least one person out to church this week. We have been given the orders to the church this morning. Let's pray.